morning, everybody. Am I on? Can you hear me? Oh, excellent. It's great to be in your company and a real honor and a privilege to share the word of God with you and a real fear after my wife did such an awesome job last week. So I always find it really helpful to go and just wait on God and to say, God, what do you want to do today? Because I know the thing about God is he's so creative. And what he did last week is not what he wants to do this week because he's moved on. And he encourages us to move on with him. So in the prayer meeting this morning, there was a real sense that God wanted to be intimate. I love that word. He wanted to be intimate with you. You know, as Angela has prayed, we're all facing different circumstances. Some of us are on mountaintops, some of us are in valleys, some of us are facing some real big challenges. But the one thing that unites us is that God loves you and he's crazy about you and he knows your circumstances and he's got it. He's got you and he's got it. And he wants to strengthen you this morning. He wants to be intimate with you. If there was another word that said he wanted to strengthen the feeble knees. And so if you're feeling just a little feeble this morning, a little weak, a little deflated, God wants to meet with you. The other thing which was really lovely is God wants to bring his light that almost blinds us and dispels the darkness. And if you're feeling like there's just a heaviness, he wants to unburden you this morning. He wants to lift that weight off you. There was another word about awakening, and we've heard it come through over and over again. These are exciting times. I think any of us with an ounce of spiritual awareness will get a sense there's a shift that's taken place. You know, that there is an awakening that is happening. Jean spoke about it last week in terms of being in Israel, and before October the 7th, they were dancing around a shrine, and now there's an openness to the gospel. There is something happening, but it relies on you and I recognizing that God has anointed you for such a time as this. As Kirsty prayed this morning, those who have ears to hear, let us hear. Those who have eyes to see, let us see. Those of us who have hearts, let us be open to what God wants to do in your life. Because what he can do in your life is different to what he's going to do in mine. But together we are a great team. So this morning we're going to be talking about delighting in God, continuing in that series. And I'm just going to be building on what Stephen and Jean have been speaking upon in the last couple of weeks. Just this promise that those who delight in God, he gives you the desires of your hearts. It's not an empty promise. Let that settle for just a moment. He gives you the desires of your heart. Jean said last week, he fills us with dreams because he wants to fulfill them. He's not the type of God that gives you dreams and then says, oh, I'm not going to fill that for you. No, he wants to fill those dreams. You know, that those who seek first the kingdom of God, that all these things will be added unto you. The promises in God are yes and amen. And I think for too long, the church, we've lived in the land of mediocre. We've lived in the land of half full. And God is the God that where our cup overflows. All right. He's the God who restores, who redeems, and our cup overflows. Psalm 16 was written by King David, who all historians would say was the greatest king that lived in Israel. You know, he had favor, he was successful, victory after victory, respected in the land. But the one thing that differentiated him was that he was known as a man after the heart of God. We see that throughout the Psalms. Lord, better is one day in your court than 1,000 elsewhere. This is the guy that had kings and kingdoms and castles, and he said, nothing compares to being in your presence. And so I thought a good starting point, if I can get this on. Stephen said, I just have to click. Oh, I do just have to click. So would be to say, okay, what does it mean to be a person who delights in God? You know, Stephen gave us a definition about people that intentionally pursue the presence of God. You know, but what does it mean? I want to be a person known as a person after the heart of God. And what we see is that this is a person that has said, God, you are my focus. I'm going to intentionally pursue you. I am going to live for the audience of one. And I love it as you read through the Psalms. There is this sense of coming to a place of rest. My quest is over. I know where my treasure is. I know where my gaze is going to be. And that is going to be on Jesus. But unfortunately, we live in a world that is very different to this. We live in a world where people are pursuing happiness. They're pursuing meaning. You know, every survey that you look at, number one, this little sort of cloud map that we've got there, every survey you look at, those are the big, bold things. I want meaning in life. I want happiness. I want connection. But people look for it in so many wrong places. And I think within us, there is this real desire for these things. Jean said last week that it is good to thirst. I think there is a thirstiness within each one of us. But ultimately, it's a God-given thirst that leads us into the heart of God. And so we see here that there is this desperation. The world is looking for authentic Christianity. The world is looking for these answers, and we hold the key to that. We who know Jesus know that actually, where else can we go? Lord, you hold the words for life. You give this life meaning. You give it purpose. And we hold that wonderful treasure. But God wants to break those jars so that it spills over. Like we saw this morning, that fragrance to go out throughout the room and throughout the world. And I just get so excited about this time that we live in. Because I know that God is awakening each one of us to recognize that we have a part to play. So, you know, the one thing I do know is that you can never outgive God. That those of us that pursue God, that there are always going to be this expression of the fullness of life, you know. And so I wanted to, this morning, just really look at, you know, why is it that when Christians, Jean was saying, as people get older, there's just this glow that people that have walked for years and years with the Lord. The one thing I would say differently is that glow isn't age related. I would just say that when people have been in the presence of God, there is something of the fragrance of God that rests on them. And so this morning, I wanted to encourage you about the type of people that God has called you to be. You know, he wants you to be the fragrance of Christ. And so I was praying for you with this message and saying, God, what would you say to each one of you this morning? And I felt the first thing that God said is that when he looks at you, he looks at you and he's specific. He doesn't treat you as a commodity. He doesn't say, oh, there's the church and everybody's treated the same. He looks at you with such specificity, you know, if that's such a word. He looks at you in a unique way. And the thing I would say to you first and foremost is that you are unique. That God would say to you, you are unique. And it is for such a time as this that he has put you here. You know, that it says in the Word of God that before you were even thought of, before you were even conceived, he knew you. He knew the time, the place. He knew the giftings. He knew the anointing that he was going to put on you. He knew your personality. You know, the church of God isn't there for the extroverts and the poor introverts have to serve tea and coffee. No, it is for all of us. He has uniquely gifted you, you know, for such a time as this. And I love this promise. He says, I've got you. You know, we talk about your lot in life. Oh, your lot in life. Well, your lot in life is good. It's secure, right? Your boundary lines have fallen in pleasant places. And friends, I hope that can sink in with you this morning, that God loves you, that you have been uniquely made. When he made you and he stepped back, he said, wow, that is good. And I know that life has given us some challenges, and I know that we've had a little sort of scars on the way, but he redeems all of that. And he brings us back to that Garden of Eden, to that place where he created you for such a time as this. And so if you're feeling like your foundation is a little insecure, if you're feeling like your boundary lines haven't fallen in good places, in pleasant places, if you're feeling a little bit like, God, you've overlooked me, you know, I don't feel like you've got this, I want to tell you this morning that God wants to meet with you. And he wants to remind you, just remind you, that he's got it. And he's got you. And the plans he has for you are good. The second thing that I felt that God wanted to share with us this morning is that he hears you. He hears you. He sees you. That he is a God that wants to be found. He counsels you during the day. Even at night when you're sleeping, he still speaks to you. He is a God that is ever present. You are never alone. Not for a millisecond are you alone. He is always present. And one of the things that I love about this verse is it says that I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. You know, when you used to go into battle, you had your shield in your left hand and you had the sword, but this side of your body was exposed. Here you could block the fiery arrows, but this side was exposed. And what you needed was for your colleague, your mate, your fellow soldier to come alongside and be at your right side so that you could be protected here. And God says, I'm on your right side. I've got this. And you know, this morning as I was praying for you guys, I just felt that some of you are exhausted from fighting the battle. You think you have to do it all on your own. And God is saying, lay it down. You know, in Romans it says, don't you worry about the fight. That's mine. You know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and high places. I've got this. I'm on your right side. It's going to be fine. And I think some of us need to come back into that place of just resting, you know, having, you know, relationship issues or workplaces or whatever it is that you're facing where you feel that actually you've got to be in control. God is saying, leave it with me. And it's much better leaving it with him. He has the answers. And then the one thing that, you know, that God does is he gives direction to our lives. And he says, I will show for you the path of life. You know, and I love this scripture because it reminds us that there is nothing that compares to God. Nothing, absolutely nothing. In his presence, there is fullness of joy. And at his right hand, there are pleasures evermore. And you know, we saw in that little sort of the pursuit of happiness. Actually, happiness comes from the pursuit and the pursuit of God. And this is what we see here, is that nothing compares, nothing quenches your thirst like what Jesus does. And we've got to come back to these promises. That when we pursue him, when we are people that are after the heart of God, when we are people that are intentionally in the presence of God, we live life to the full. We live life in multicolor because we are people that have a hope that we carry around, that our inheritance is secure, that our boundary lines are in good places. We have this real sense that God is for us. And if God is for us, who can be against us? We have this real sense that we have purpose and meaning because God made us for such a time as this. And there's only things that you can do that he has gifted you to do. And he's saying, go for it. Be bold. Be courageous. The kingdom of God is forcefully advancing. And it's forceful men and women like you that believe in the promises of God that take hold of it. And the world is desperate for it. And we see that, you know, in this song, where it talks about those that try and find happiness and meaning in other places and other gods. You know, be it in hedonistic pleasures, be it in ministry, be it in work, you know, whatever it is, you know, be it in abusive behaviors, what people go to, you know, wherever other people try and find purpose or meaning or community, what the Bible tells us is that their sorrows are multiplied, multiplication of sorrows. And we see that all the time. I mean, how many of those stories, I just read it this week, I'm reading a book called Half Time by Bob Burford. And this whole sense of you come to this part of your life where you've got everything. You know, you're the CEO of your company, you've got all the sports cars that you want, you've got multiple houses, and you look at it and you think it's just so empty. We hear that story all the time. You will never find true fulfillment and meaning and purpose outside of Jesus Christ. I am absolutely convinced of that. And today I think we just need to settle that. We need to be like David, a man after the heart of God that says, my quest is over. My gaze is ever, forever upon you. That I would hope that if there's one thing that we do today, is we leave today determined to be a people that live for the audience of one. We'd be a people that, like David, who says, there's no good in me, Lord, unless it comes from you. That we know that everything that is good about us, every good gift that we have, it's because God has just been gracious to us. And so, you know, as I was praying, another verse that sort of came to mind, that ties in with Psalm 16, if you allow me just to diverge a little bit, is this verse in Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the pioneer of our faith. Sorry, I left out verse 2. I only discovered that this morning, but maybe it was good because it is fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the pioneer of our faith. And friends, as I was praying about today, I really do feel that there is a commissioning that's taking place today. That for some of you, that there is a fresh awakening of the incredible deposit that God has placed within you, and that God wants to remind you of the race or the path that He has lit up for you. You know, I felt that, you know, like when aeroplanes come into land and suddenly the runway gets lit up, I just felt that God wanted to light up your path today. That some of us are just meandering, hoping for the best, but God wants to light up our path. And so there's a few questions that I want to ask you to consider, if you will. Is that all right? Okay, good. We all in? Okay, here are some of the questions that I wanted you to actually think about. And the first question is really, What are your passions? You know, if you know, as Jean said, God gives you dreams because He wants to fulfill them. What are your passions? What are the things that make you weep with compassion? You know, what are the things that excite you and fill you with energy and joy and enthusiasm? Or what are the things that make you pound the table with a righteous anger? I'm sure you saw last week with my wife, Jean, when she's with the word of God or with what God promises over Israel, you saw all of that. Compassion. My wife has wept over that nation for hours and hours and hours in intercession. Nothing makes her face light up more than the word of God or talking about the promises of God and what He's doing in that nation. And there's things that make her so angry when she reads some of the things in the news. It's a great demonstration of somebody who has captured God's heart and purpose for their life. And I think he wants all of us to be in that same place. Whatever it is, whatever nation he's put on your heart, whatever situation he wants you to change, you know, God wants you to have the same enthusiasm and fulfillment. And so the first question is, what are your passions? What are the dreams that might need a little dusting off? You know, I think the church needs to start dreaming again. We need to think big. We need to dream big. The second thing that I wanted to ask you this morning is, where has God used you in the past where you've had a significant impact? And what are some of the gifts that you've had that you might have just let go a little dormant? It might be a little sort of unused for a period of time. We might need to get back into our spiritual gyms and start exercising those muscles again. And I think about it, you know, I think about when I read the Bible, it tells us that our meetings, Paul had to write to them to say, guys, could you just maybe be a little orderly? You're all talking at the same time. You're all prophesying at the same time. You're all singing songs at the same time. Let's just put a little bit of order in that. And I look and I think, where is that noise? Where is that? Where are the prophets? Where are you? You know, where are the people that practice hospitality? You know, where are the people that care for the poor and the orphans and the widows? Where are the people in the workplace that are transforming people's lives for the kingdom of God? Where are the teachers? You know, where are the pastors? Where are the evangelists? They're here. They're right here. This is where it all happens. This is the front row seat to miracles, right in front of me. And God is, I think, wanting to commission you this morning with those passions, those dreams, those giftings, that sense of purpose that you're in his A team. God has no B teams. There's no B team in God's kingdom. There's only an A team. And you know, at school where sometimes they used to go and pick teams and you think, oh my goodness, I hope I'm not going to be the last one to be picked. He picks you first because he says, oh, I've got this thing and only you can do it, Richard. I've got this thing to do, only you can do it, Helen. You know, he goes and he's got specific things. You are his first choice. But God needs you to believe in the giftings and the anointing that he's placed on your life. Then, Helen had this picture 2 weeks ago about excess baggage. And I really felt that actually, that is a word in season. You know, Jean talked about what are you drinking last week. You know, how when you're really thirsty, Coca-Cola just doesn't do it. It has to be water, you know. So what are you drinking? And I was also reminded of a prophecy that Kirsty brought just a few months ago. But she was talking about how we were carrying around boxes. And actually, as a result, we couldn't see Jesus and we couldn't see the path because we had all of these boxes of unforgiveness and disappointment and despair. And Angela prayed into that this morning. You know, just that it was so busy carrying these around that we actually couldn't see Jesus right in front of us. And friends, I wish I could do it for you. I wish I could come and take every single one of the lies that have been spoken over you and remove it. I wish I could break every orphan spirit that rests on some of you. I wish I could take the unforgiveness and unburden you. I wish I could take some of the disappointment and the despair and fix it for you. But I know someone who can. All right. So as we think about this year,
we can't be passengers anymore. It's too important. The world is in too much of a mess, and we hold the answer. We know him who shows people the path of life, where we live it in multicolor. And friends, I wanna invite you this morning to run your race. You know, and I suppose, you know, Stephen spoke last week about building your house on the rock, and how if we build it on the sand, when the storms of life come and it gets washed away. Well, we sang the song, didn't we? But how it gets washed away. And you know, I was struck by something he said, where he said, hearing the word and forgetting it is as bad as never hearing it. We have the truth. So what is the one thing you can do today that you can pursue the heart of God, that you can step into the anointing that he has for you? So I'm going to pray right now, if you'd allow me. That is it. That's what I felt God wanted to say to you. He wanted to remind you that your lot is secure, that no matter what you're facing, your boundary lines have fallen in pleasant places. Why? Because you have hope. Why? Because you have purpose. Why? Because you have anointing. You have gifting. You can make a difference in this world. You know, he wanted to remind you that he's got your right side, that you don't have to fight the battles on your own. He wanted to remind you that he's got a unique race that he wants you to run, and he wants you to run it unshackled. Throw off everything that would cut in on your race, that would hinder you, and that he wants to remind you that you are precious in his sight. He has uniquely gifted you. When he talks to you, he talks with such specific words that are for you. So friends, it was meant to be an encouraging word. It feels like quite weighty, but I do really feel it's important times. I really do. And I feel like God wants to commission you afresh, that he wants to remind you of the passions that he's placed within you, that were God-given passions, that he's got a job for you to do, but you're going to have such fun doing it. You know, there's nothing more thrilling than seeing a life transformed because Jesus has touched it. And you know, some of us plant the seed, some of us water the seed, some of us prune it. Whatever job he's given you to do, whatever gift he's given you to do, this is your moment. We need to rise up. It's important times. So let me pray. Father, I want to thank you for this amazing group of people. And I want to thank you, Lord Jesus, that even smaller groups than this have transformed nations. And Father, I know that it is for such a time as this that you've called us to Chalfont St. Peter and to the ends of the world to touch it with you, Lord. Father, we know that our world is desperate for truth. Our world is desperate for authentic Christianity. Our world is desperate for Jesus. And Father, we are carriers of that incredible promise. And Lord, right now, I want to pray, Holy Spirit, that you would move across this room. As in the prayer meeting where you said it's a moment of intimacy. Father, I want to pray that you would speak to each person here individually and remind them of how they are your treasure. That, Lord, how you delight in them. That it is for such a time as this that you have created them. Father, where there are dreams that have been dormant or gifts that need dusting off, Father, I pray right now, Holy Spirit, move in power. Move in power and fan into a flame those giftings again. Father, where there are excess baggages that we're carrying or boxes that we're carrying that we can't see you, Lord, I pray right now, Father, in the name of Jesus, we break those strongholds right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And Father, I want to pray that each one of us would leave here feeling a fresh commissioning this morning in your precious name. Amen. Friends, as we go into a time of worship, I just felt there were a few areas that God wanted to minister to you. And we've got oil here, particularly for commissioning. If you feel like God has got a fresh commissioning, that not a fresh anointing, I mean, his purpose for your life has remained unchanged, but where you're getting a stirring that God, actually, I get it. You've called me, and you want a fresh anointing for that, for a fresh commissioning, a fresh anointing for what he's called you to. Please don't leave this without doing business. There's something in when we step up and we say, God, here I am, send me, that he meets us in that place. So that was one of the areas. The other thing was, if there's still some excess baggage that you're carrying around with you, be it disappointment, be it unforgiveness, be it lies that have been spoken over you, whatever it might be. You know, Helen had that word, and I know if you're anything like me, sometimes we hand it over and then we go out and on Monday we pick it up again. Let's break that thing this morning. It's just not worth going through life with that type of limp. And then the other thing was, some of you are fighting your battles and you're exhausted. And God just wants to give you fresh strength, strengthen the feeble knees this morning. So if that's you, please, it would be an absolute privilege to be praying with you, with the team. And then what is the one thing? What is the one thing you're going to do differently from today that's going to enable you to step into the fullness of what God has for you? Thanks, everybody.